Welcome to the Williams Meekin YB Hurton phone conference line.
Good morning.
Good morning, good morning.
Morning, Ruth. Monty.
Good morning, Monty. Nice to hear your voice.
It's good to be here. I might need some of your assistance. I really appreciate you sending out the notes that you sent out on last week's call. Or not last week's, but the weeks before. I think that's really beneficial to everybody. Give some great information.
I don't know if I'm going to be able to take time to do them. I'm thinking that maybe I will do each day a couple of words to tell what we talked about, and then let them go and listen to it on the call, because I don't have time to do any more things.
I think that would be great. You know, if they want to know more, then they need to take the initiative to go listen to the call.
Yeah, they'll get a lot more out of it. Once in a while, I might put a little something in, but I've got to cut back here some places.
Yeah, and because I wasn't on the call Tuesday and Wednesday and wasn't able to get to the calls before this morning, I won't be able to give much on Tuesday's call or Wednesday's call.
I have some on Tuesdays. Of course, I can look at mine and maybe remember, but certainly I can't take notes on my own call.
Yeah, like I said, just kind of, if you would just hit the highlights maybe on Wednesdays, what you talked about on Wednesday, and then we'll go from there. And I appreciate that. Are you still doing the morning?
Am I doing what?
Are you still proper pronunciation and what certain things are every day now yet?
When I have time, I do. But most of the time, I have had grandchildren, quite a bit this weekend, so I'm really short of time this week.
Okay, well, if there's anything you want to say during the call or at the end or whatever, just go ahead and get her done.
Thanks, Monty.
Good morning, y'all.
Good morning, Steve.
Good morning. Good morning, Steve. We appreciate you.
Well, we appreciate you, too. Awesome group.
What I'm going to try to do, Monty, is I'm going to try to take something and have the pronunciation be something that you have used. Since I have a different slide group for each day, I can put the things that you talk about, I can make the words for that. Right now, I don't have that correlated.
Whatever you'd like.
So I came in and I had, here's herbs and spices, and I thought, well, that's not what Monty talks about usually, so I better get the right thing on here. So good morning, everybody. I think it's a time for us to be getting started, and we have quite a few people on the call, Monty. I can hear them chiming in, and so everyone always looks forward to Friday because we have Monty talk to us on Friday. So here's Monty, and I will silence the chimes here, Monty, so go ahead.
Thank you. Good morning, everybody. For those of you that are on WebEx, from Mary Lou to Mary Ellen Gill to Karen Eastwood to Ruth and anybody else, those of you on the landline, glad you're with us here on a wonderful Friday, September the 14th. And we're just going to, what I try to do is make sure that we all understand our basic mission of what the purpose of this call for, and that is to basically teach, support, the practice of habitual health style choices, becoming more mind and body fit, getting knowledge, all that sort of stuff that helps us make some decisions in our own lives. Even though we might hear things that we don't feel would be beneficial, we certainly hear a lot that is beneficial, and so we as individuals can take that knowledge and put it to work for ourselves for better health. The health style calls, of course, you can always go to ybhurton.com. That's Y-B-H-U-R-T-N. .com, and you can get some of the slides and downgrade charts that are beneficial to what we do on a daily basis. Also, if you'd like to hear the call that you've missed or whatever, or like to go back and just review it yourself, you can always go to allswell.org, and you can pull up the particular call that you'd like to listen to and hear again, or if you totally missed it, you can hear it. I missed a couple calls this week. Unfortunately, I didn't have the time to get to it, but I certainly do appreciate Steve and what he does for us in regards to recording these calls, because I know I've used it in the past, and I really appreciate that. What I'd like to try to do on Fridays is let's kind of go back over and review what happened during the week, which I feel is beneficial. So we're going to start out with Monday. Monday, Mary Lou was our host, and we always talk about back to basics. The chart our journaling chart, basically allows us to get certain points. She talked about those 10 points that are so important, from anywhere from getting sleep to 7 to 8 hours. And, of course, with our new sleep mask, it even makes sleep even better. Exercise a minimum of 30 minutes daily. Keep track by journaling. There are 3 meals and 2 snacks. Try to stay on the alkalizing side of things as much as possible. She talked about the Blaylock report and how the heart attack and strokes, so that we need to keep ourselves cardiovascular healthy. It was amazing in regards to the figures that she came up with, in regards to how the age-wise, that heart attack and strokes, how they basically affect us. Even start out as low as sometimes 25 years of age. One of the highest rates, of course, that people that have heart attacks or strokes or cardiovascular diseases are people that are diabetics or have pre-diabetes. And we discussed pre-diabetes necessarily. A lot of people are pre-diabetics and don't know that. She talked about how hypertension is bad, that sugar is also bad, that we don't eat, most people don't eat enough fruits and vegetables, and most people are very low in magnesium. And she's talked about what we eat. Would she avoid some things to our that we eat? That was avoiding omega-6 fats, avoiding processed foods. We should eat at least 10 servings of high-density fruits and vegetables on a daily basis as much as possible. She talked about Dr. Blaylock and his report that a lot of this information came from, and he recommended that blenderizing vegetables but steam them first. He also mentioned about avoiding white breads and flours. One of the other things, avoid artificial sweeteners, and we know that certain artificial sweeteners out there are not very good for our bodies because they're basically a chemical. And they talked about how that a lot of stuff in commercial salad dressings are not good for us, so we need to be aware of that. We need to eat as much spice, that spices are healthy. Caseinate, stay away. And that is mostly dairy products. Joan talked about that basically that casein, which is in dairy products, okay, in milk, that basically had, and they did a study, and they did it with mice or rats, I forget what it was, but that if that 10% of the diet that they were eating included casein, that they all died, but if there was less than 5% casein in the diet, there was zero death in that particular experiment. The block chart is available to determine what is a serving. We know that women need 3 blocks, men need 4 blocks. Joan also recommended juicing. So that's kind of what happened Monday. Tuesday, I wasn't here, unfortunately, for the call because of a family situation, which occurs every Tuesday for me and possibly sometimes during the week when because I'm needed at other places. So, Karen, or Ruth, does anybody have anything you'd like to say about Tuesday's call and kind of a quick review?
Karen, please. Karen O'Donnell.
Okay, well,
I don't have notes from Tuesday.
Okay.
Can you hear me, Monty?
Yes.
Okay, on Tuesday, the notes I took were that Donna had dropped 44 pounds using the program that we're recommending to people. Nancy talked about gluten-free diets and since she's on the gluten-free diet, her muscles weren't as tight as they have been, and her stomach feels better. Karen felt that it was a minefield out there to go out to dinner, to eat, or to go shopping. Doug talks about what he's learned, and Donna said that her stomach was feeling flatter, and I didn't say, but I will say that mine is also because of the exercise that I've been getting. So that's what I have.
Thank you, Steve. Appreciate that very much.
Nancy with a flat stomach.
In fact, also, I think Karen Marshall talked about how to get rid of inflammation, and that the inflammation shows something drastically wrong if you've got a lot of inflammation. Sorry about that train noise there.
I'm sorry, I was gone for a little bit. If you want me, very quickly, what we talked about is how most people will grab for, when you have a pain, you will grab for ibuprofen, which I did, or you will take other painkillers, and all this is doing is masking over your inflammation, and it is actually contributing to the inflammation. So we talked about a number of natural things that a person should be taking, like the omega-3, and I don't remember all of them right this minute, but there was a number of natural things that we can take to reduce the inflammation, and one of them, I shouldn't say one of them, the Nikon products, almost everyone without exception, had a combination of a number of these nutrients that will reduce inflammation. And then, of course, we talked about how it was very important to have a good sleep because that's when all these good nutrients can repair the body.
Thank you. Appreciate that, Karen.
Yeah, you mentioned that pineapple and tropical fruits were really important.
Yes. Pineapple is very high. I don't remember right this minute what it is, but there's a pineapple that is extremely valuable in reducing inflammation.
Good. Ruth, do you want to have any high points you want to say about Wednesday? I'm sorry I missed that call, too.
Okay, on Wednesday, I have decided to kind of focus on the brain, and so I was talking about the Alzheimer's risk factors and maybe some of them that we haven't heard of, and we had quite a discussion on the two that I covered, and so we only covered two so far. We will continue that later, but the two were fructose and keeping the intake of fructose low or out of the diet. You wouldn't get it all out because you're going to have some fruit. And also vitamin B12, and we had quite a discussion with that, and that will be on the recording with Steve's site. So that's what we talked about on Wednesday.
Thank you, Ruth. Appreciate that very much. On Thursday, Nancy Gilmer from Texas talked to us about bone health, the package and the bio-replenishment package that we get that was produced by Dr. Naidu. Gives our body what it needs to stay strong, particularly our bones, which get involved in absorption, transportation, predistribution, release of certain hormones in our body. Dr. Naidu he's the person that came up with the formula, all the research he's done over the year. We're very glad to have Dr. Naidu with us. We're very fortunate, I should say, to have Dr. Naidu with us. And I think the first product that we had of his was if I can remember in my mind, it was lactoferrin gold, which I totally got sold on because I was able to go to a website that I found when lactoferrin came out, and it was the site that doctor on a company site, and I have not been able to find it since then, but it actually showed what lactoferrin does in the body. And to kind of explain it real quickly is, as we get the bad things in our body, which basically is not good for us, that the lactoferrin basically grabs it, encapsulates it, and passes it through the body so that it doesn't get in digested or into our bloodstream or in through our intestine. So I thought that was very important, and ever since that day I have used lactoferrin gold every morning. I have my one each morning, and I really feel it's helped me over the years. He also then came out with another two products called Osteodense and Caldense, which basically was the bio-replenishment, and it turns the clock back. In other words, it helps us get the calcium to where it needs to be in our bones and then it distributes it to other areas and other organs that it basically needs. Our bodies all need calcium to function properly. Our joints need it, our blood need it, our bones and brains and all other organs, even our heart, liver, et cetera, and so forth, need the calcium that our body requires. And to, again, thanks to Dr. Naidu for, again, what he's done for us in this amazing product, which has really helped things. One-third of Americans have a bone problem through all different kinds of osteoporosis, osteopenia, a lot of other things. You know, I really feel that even as children are growing up, that this particular three products are could be very, very beneficial to them in regards to their health, particularly in as they become older, but it also strengthens things as they are younger. So that was Thursday. On Friday, I usually talk about things. Last week I talked about potassium. I think Karen asked the question, what is potassium and what can it do for our bodies? So I went over all that. I don't want to do that this particular call, but we recently realized that potassium is totally powerful and our body needs it for a lot of reasons. And one of the things that I talked about, and that is that coconut water is a very beneficial factor of potassium. And I noticed that when I have ever the doctor, because I'm a diabetic, I in my reading of a book put out by Dr. Fife called Coconut Water, I found that coconut water, along with the coconut milk and the coconut itself and other items that basically come from coconut, so I'm kind of very enthused about it. So what I'd like to talk to you today about is living water, basically what coconut is. And the coconut palm basically is a remarkable plant. It is said to have several thousand items that you can do with it, from anywhere from food to drink to medicine, as well as building material for houses, boats, fishing gear, rope, nets, baskets, bowls, flowers, bed mats, and clothes, and that's just to mention a few. So it's very much of the plant itself, the palm, is a very useful item. And the coconut is the fruit of the tree of life. Inside the coconut is the most remarkable fluid, and for those of us, it's called coconut water. And there's a difference now between coconut milk and coconut water. A lot of times, people in books that they write, they will refer to coconut water as coconut milk, but no, it is actually a water, and this is a living water. To say that coconut living water is not a figure of speech, it is literal. Coconut water is actually living tissue of the coconut palm. And even months after a coconut has been separated from the tree, and I'm sure we've seen coconut on beaches or you've seen pictures of just coconuts laying around on the beach, it actually is alive. That water from a faucet, a stream, or a well basically is, and even reverse osmosis is literally lifeless. Coconut water, on the other hand, is the fluid of the lifeblood of a living plant. It is from the coconut water and the meat that the new coconut palm derives its energy and nourishment to sprout and grow into towering coconut palm. There's even been cases where coconuts have been through storms that end up going out to the ocean and floating around for almost a year and then landing on another island or another place, and the actually coconut will, on the beach, will actually sprout itself and grow into a pulp, into a basic tree. And but coconut water is just as useful, and that's also, it's a superfood. It's filled with minerals, vitamins, amino acids, sugars, enzymes, and growth hormones. It possesses incredible healing properties. It is currently being used around the world to save lives. It is particular value to the treatment of cholera, a devastating illness in many areas in the world. Cholera is a terrible disease that can strike so fast and with such ferocity that it causes death in as little as 12 hours. Consumption, now this is important, consumption of coconut water increases the survival rate of cholera victims by as much as 97%. Now, they've done research on that, and that's one of the things I like about Dr. Fife's book, is that always, when he states about an experiment or a study, that he also shows the reference for that those particular items. Coconut, basically, is hyperallergenic, which means that these people who have food allergies can usually consume coconut without fear. The water especially is safe because it is low protein content. Coconut water also has an alkalizing effect on the body, helping to counteract or balance the effects of acidic foods which is so common in, of course, our Western diets. One of the most remarkable characteristics of coconut water is the chemical profile and mineral content. And what I want to kind of get into now a little bit is, why is that so true? Well, I know I made the comment on last Friday's call about how they actually sometimes have utilized coconut water as an IV therapy, particularly when they did not have access due to emergency situations or even in war. And during World War II, the British doctors used intravenous coconut water in Ceylon, as did the Japanese in Sumatra, and the doctors under American jurisdiction in the Caroline Islands in the South Pacific actually used coconut water, basically of intravenous. It was even, matter of fact, used, he goes on to say, and I mentioned the study, but he goes on to say that later coconut water was used again in military fields and during the Vietnam War. And over the years, coconut water has been used successfully as an intravenous fluid on numerous occasions. And when I read that, it kind of made me stop and think, well, why? Well, one of the reasons is that coconut water is almost like human blood plasma. For the IV use, the suitable water comes from an immature coconut about 7 to 9 months of age. Now, as a coconut is on the tree, it is basically pretty much water. All it is inside of it is water with the husk around it. As the coconut ages, the water then turns to meat, which then is what most people think when they think of a coconut. Coconut, they don't think of the water, they think of the meat that's in it. But because of the water, it basically, that's what creates the meat. And the older the plant, the older the coconut gets, the less water that it has in it. So the most best time to utilize, they claim, for this intravenous thing is at about 7 to 9 months of age, the coconut is, should be, and that's when it has the most water in it, anywhere from 12 to 16 ounces. As a coconut, like I bought some coconuts the other day in the grocery store, and one of the things you always do when you pick up a coconut is you shake it, and you hear the water in it. But in a real good coconut, or what they call a young green coconut, basically you almost cannot hear that water because it's so basically full at that particular time. And as the meat starts to form, the water dissipates because that's what basically helps form the meat. It also has electrolytes in it as far as the sport drinks go, and our bodies need it, and that's anywhere from sodium, potassium, calcium, magnesium, chloride, phosphate, and sulfate. I know I'm talking a little bit fast this morning, but I just like to get through a lot of this stuff. It also has 18 amino acid content of coconut water. It has all the 18 amino acids in it. So I thought that was very important, where you take most sports drinks and things like that that people utilize, and basically all it pretty well much in it is sugar. So that's one of the nice things about coconut water. The other thing I liked about coconut water is that I think of it as kind of a health tonic, and Dr. Five talks about it in chapter 6 here in his book, but how it can be a health tonic added to what we could be utilized on a daily basis. And coconut water appears to have the amazing ability to help the body maintain homeostasis, particularly in regards to fluid and electrolyte balance. One of the unique features of coconut water is its bidirectional character. What that means is, for instance, a drug, when your doctor gives you a drug, he's honing in on one particular item. He's not honing in on other parts of the body. So when he gives you that drug, whatever it be, he's honing in on one particular thing, whereas coconut is bidirectional. And basically what it means is that unlike a drug that pushes the body in one direction or another, coconut water can move the body in direction it needs to go. For instance, if the body needs to be dehydrated, it can. If the body is dehydrated, it can rehydrate it. Okay. If the body is overhydrated, okay, it can cause the removal of excess water. Whether coconut water is pulling excess water out or replenishing depleted fluids, electrolyte and pH balance is maintained. And I know we talk an awful lot in this program about how certain foods do certain things, and we want to stay as much alkaline as we possibly can. Well, basically, coconut is another thing, like calcium, basically to help buffer and to keep the body as alkaline as it possibly can. The other thing that I found interesting for me being a diabetic is that coconut water has long been known as a natural diuretic. Diuretics are substances that promote or stimulate the production of urine. Diuretics are among the most common drugs in medicine. They are useful because they influence water and electrolyte balance, especially sodium and potassium. Now, one of the things that I always knew that when my doctor started me in diuretic many years ago because of my diabetes situation, because my body was obtaining, is that one of the ways you can check to see if you have what's called edema is you can just go down on your leg and on your calf situation towards the top of the bone there, and that's to just put some pressure for about maybe 10 seconds on that, on your skin, and then release that pressure that you put on that skin, and if that skin bounces right back, you're basically hydrated. If you have edema, it basically, it will not come back. The skin will come back to its normal shape, but it will all do it in a very slow matter of fact. And that's basically saying that edema is there's too much water within our bodies. So we got to get rid of it. The other thing that when the doctor used to give me diuretics, he always used to have to give me potassium along with it, because basically what a diuretic does is it allows the body to get rid of excess fluid, but when it gets rid of that excess fluid, it gets rid of the potassium, the calcium, and other things as it gets rid of the fluid. And that's one of the things about coconut water, is it keeps that pretty much in balance. Kidneys are very important to me also, being a diabetic, and that's a simple fact that most people that have diabetes do have some sort of a kidney problem, and it's something that we... I speak for myself, that is one of my concerns, is that as over all the years that I have been a diabetic and was able to actually, because of the first program that we were on this new eating way, way back when, is that I was able to, when I started eating properly, I was able to come off my total insulin, which basically helped. Then, of course, I backslid, as I'll use the terminology for those of you that understand that. And that is the simple fact, is that I went back to eating foods that I shouldn't again, gained weight, and then again, of course, had to get back on my insulin. Now, that was my fault. It was all due to my stupidity. Even knowing what I had did to be able to come off it, I still went back and did the bad things that I need to do. But the kidneys are also involved in blood pressure, and the kidneys move a lot of water and a lot of blood, but the kidneys are also involved in blood pressure regulation. When blood pressure is low, special cells secrete a hormone that initiates construction of blood vessels and thus raises blood pressure. Now, I didn't know this when I've always heard about blood pressure. I always thought it was the heart and everything, you know, those kind of things. But the kidneys constantly monitor blood pressure and therefore are essential in maintaining homeostasis within the body. Any disease or injury that interferes with kidney function is potentially very serious, and that's why I take this program very serious, is because there's ways that I've been able to, in my opinion, be able to, and through my blood work that is done at my doctor, we were concerned about my kidneys when I first got on this new program, and that he put me on medication because he felt that my kidney ratio of whatever he looked at was very high and that I was headed for kidney disease. And kidney failure is the most common cause of death. In the U.S., it is the ninth leading cause of death. And I think that has to do an awful lot with the people that have diabetes. It also says that coconut water is like a kidney tonic. It assists the kidneys in producing urine to flush out toxins and excess minerals. It helps to keep these vital organs healthy and functioning properly, thus aiding them in their job of regulating homeostasis. A glass or two of coconut water a day can help keep your kidneys healthy and your body in balance. And I do have my two glasses a day because I do believe that this coconut water is very, very beneficial to it. The other thing I didn't realize is that the kidney processes about 15 gallons, that would be 57 liters, of blood every hour flows through our kidneys. And most of the water and necessary electrolytes are reabsorbed and returned to the bloodstream. If urine production is low or minimal, and waste concentration is high, these mineral salts begin to precipitate out of the solution and form crystals or stones called kidney stones. And kidney stones is something that my doctor at one time called me a kidney stone manufacturer, because I have, over the years of my life, and even when I was younger, I think I had my first kidney stone when I was 20-some years of age. And I basically had at least four, there could be more, of actual surgeries to actually go in and have my kidney stones removed from my body because they were so huge that they would not pass, and so I had to go in. And back in those days, I can remember my first ones, when they first came out with this, they would insert your body into a large tub, and then they would hit your body with large amounts of ultrasound. And it would basically, what it does, it shatters the kidney stone, which in turn allows the stone to then pass through. Now they use lasers, where they can actually go in with lasers and actually find the stone, and because lasers can be adjusted to strength and to depth of a body, that they actually go in now and explode those kidney stones. And I believe that was the last time I had a kidney stone, which was about 10 years ago. That's the way that they did it on me. But unfortunate thing is that then you got to pass that, they call it sand, and to get it out of there. But one of the nice things, ways to help prevent stone formation and perhaps even dissolve existing stone, is to increase fluid intake in order to increase urine flow and consume more alkalizing foods. So for those of us that don't have kidney stones or make kidney stones, one of the reasons that helps you not do that is, of course, the food that we alkalize, the food that we eat, trying to be as alkaline as we possibly can, even though we do include acidic foods within our body. Potassium also improves circulation, dilates blood vessels, and improves filtration of the kidneys. So coconut water has been a long tradition for its therapy effect on the urinary and reproductive system. They've even found in certain studies that they can actually go up through the bladder, up through the urethra, and then find the kidney stone, and actually with a coconut water, basically go in there and insert it in there, push it up to the stone, and the stone will actually start to dissolve. So when I, of course, read that and read some of the research that was done on it, I got excited about coconut water. And there was a doctor that McCullough reports that of his 1,670 patients who were reoccurrent stone formers, like I was, and who took this particular therapy, only 13% had reoccurrence of stones in a 10-year period. So that they're now utilizing that. The only trouble is, Dr. Maylog says, that it created, he complains that because of that, he suffers from AIDS when he discovered this. And so basically what AIDS means to him is that's called acute income deficiency syndrome. Basically the A stands for acute, A for income, and deficiency, D is for deficiency, a syndrome, and S is for syndromes, which means he was solving the problem of kidney stones by utilizing his therapy, so he didn't have people coming back to him that usually did. So basically he had AIDS, which meant that his income was decreasing because he was doing something that was so beneficial. Also, it says, goes on to say, that drinking the juice from one or two green coconuts can be helpful in fighting off active UTIs. I'm sure most of you on the call know what a UTI is, but it goes on to say that one average-sized coconut contains about 12 to 16 ounces of water. With adequate plain water consumption, about 12 ounces of coconut water a day is generally enough to prevent further infections. And we've heard how cranberry is good, but now I realize that coconut water is also very good for those people that have it and who want to basically get rid of it, and then even when they do have it, that it's a good thing to be drinking. Coconut water, in many respects, can be viewed as a heart tonic. And he's done some experimenting, and intravenous is just amazing. There was another one that did a cardiac, when they used IVs in people with heart disease, they thought there might be certain problems, but they found out that those problems didn't occur because it's so much like our blood plasma already. Coconut is basically what is called, that we know of, diuretics, but it's called an aqua diuretic, which basically means that it basically does the same thing, but it does through the form of coconut water and whatever. So coconut water can be an excellent aid in preventing heart failure and help removing the excess fluid that a lot of people that have heart congestion, heart failure, have. Eye health, I think, is very important, and I know I'm running a little bit long, but I do want to talk about that real quick, is that to have a doctor say that you're losing your vision is a scary experience. Eyesight is one of the most cherishable senses that we have. Maintaining good vision is a high priority. And glaucoma is a dreaded disease. In America, there has between 2 and 3 million people in the United States have glaucoma, and 120,000 of these are legally blind as a result. And I'm sure most of us heard about glaucoma or somebody that has it. It's sneaky. It sneaks up on you. You don't know you have it until you have it. About half of the people who are affected basically are unaware of it in any particular way. Basically, glaucoma is a plumbing problem. The water is constantly entering and leaving the eyeball. This fluid brings in nutrients and carries away waste. Normally, the rate that fluid comes into the eyeball equals the amount leaving. However, if water enters the eyeball quicker than it can exit, fluid pressures begin to build. And if I don't know if you've I'm sure most of you, when you go to your eye doctor, your ophthalmologist, at least once a year, that one of the first things they check on you, and that is to put this machine on your eyeball and check the pressure, what they call the pressure. And that's basically determined. It's one of the first signs of glaucoma is that the eyeball is not getting rid of the fluid, and so that way the fluid increases within the water, within the eye. Cataracts is another problem. It's basically the clouding of the lens of the eye. About 50% of people age 65 to 74, and about 70% of those 75 and older have cataracts that affect their visions. Last time I was at the doctor, my doctor said that I was starting to form cataracts. So here again, I'm going to have another nice experiment of my own to find out if coconut water can help with that. And it goes on to say here that another possible treatment for cataracts involves the use of coconut water. He goes on to say that some years ago, this doctor that one of my patients told him about a treatment for cataracts. He found in a book noted by herbalist John Heinerman. In the book, he advised a patient to lie down and put several drops of fresh coconut water in their eyes, then apply a hot, damp washcloth over the eyes for about 10 minutes. And Dr. Heinerman even went out, he goes on to say that even one application is enough to get significant improvement, but it says that also that it would take several. So that's what I want to talk to you about today. I'm sorry I took so long, whatever, but I feel that coconut water is very valuable to us, particularly for me, and that's my opinion and some research that I've done on it, so that the best kind of coconut water you can drink is from coconuts itself, the green coconut. Like you said, it's about 7 to 9. When we buy the coconuts, usually in the grocery store, they have a brown husk on them. Those are the older coconuts and don't have as much water in them. The best way is from fresh coconuts, and if you can't get fresh coconuts, he goes on to say, Dr. Fife, that the commercial produced canned or TerraPaks of coconut water would be the second best way to absorb to get the coconut. I utilize the Tetra Pak, buy my coconut water. I've been on it now for about 30 days. I personally have found that it does do what it says it does as far as a diuretic goes. I find that I don't have the swelling in my legs. I find that very, very interesting. So does anybody have any questions or any comments?
I have a comment.
Well, hello.
Hi, this is Wade. Yeah.
Hello. Go ahead.
The green coconut. Actually, I have to proud to say my brother was one of the inaugural people to invent the technology to bring it abroad to the outside of Thailand. But you'll find them actually all shaved and cut, and then they'll wrap them in plastic, so it'll look white outside. So that's a fresh young coconut one. It's all like the green part's all nicely shaved off and then it's all wrapped up in brand wrap, so it's a crush. So you'll find that in the mostly a lot of Asian stores. You can get a Winko nowadays, too, in the fresh produce.
I found a link on the web for organic green coconuts. I don't know what difference that would make, but I did find a link.
Yeah, most of the coconut really, say, come out of Thailand or stuff, is like grown along the beach or stuff, and mostly they're naturally grown, and they're really naturally pest-free type.
Okay.
I don't recall ever living in Vietnam seeing an infested, you know, coconut tree that needed, like, fertilization or anything, so
okay.
I don't know what the deal with that is, yeah. But, yeah, so they'll say young, fresh, young coconut juice, but nowadays you can get 100% too, so in the can, you have to read the label. But as far as, the best price is if you go to Asian store, it's ranging from $1.79 to $2 for the fresh one. I'll give you over a can worth of fresh coconut juice.
Over 10 ounces? That what one would give you over 10 ounces? Is that what you said?
Yeah, it's like really, let's see, it'll overfill my full cup, a big cup of, you know, the big mug, which is like about good 400 cc almost. So what's that give you? Yeah, so yeah, it's way over 10 ounces. But the young one, yeah. The older they get, the less water they are and the less tasty they are.
Yeah. Two questions, Monty. How much are you drinking? And is this that the name of the book you were reading for? Is it Dr. Fife or Velox?
Dr. Fife. It's called Coconut Water for Health and Healing.
Okay. I want to read this. I came late to this. I can't believe it. I overslept. Coconut water and what?
And for health and healing.
Okay, thank you.
So what I do is since I've got on this particular program, is I drink 8 ounces the first morning is what I do, and before I consume any food, whatever, in my body, and I do that for the diuretic purpose, and then I have 8 ounces prior to my evening meal, probably try to about a half hour before, and again for those reasons and for health. Now, that doesn't mean that besides that, I also drink the normal Pymag water, basically that what my body requires based upon my weight. And I think it's whatever your weight is, you should at least drink 50% of those ounces of your weight in water. So I don't cut back on my Pymag water because I totally believe that Pymag water is powerful.
Yeah.
And
right.
I mean that. To allowing nutrients and things to get into our body because of what magnetism does to the molecule of the water. So I just drink. I basically drink 16 ounces a day is what I've been drinking.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Well, Monty, I have a question.
Yes.
You mentioned, we're going really speedily there, about did you say when the blood sugar is low, the blood pressure goes up?
Oh, boy.
Water is like a kidney tonic.
Yeah,
right,
basically
that
let me see here. Let's see if I can find kidneys. I can't find it right off the bat, Ruth, but...
Okay, you let me know if that's what you said. I wasn't sure if anybody else caught that or if...
I know the one thing it does know, it normalizes blood pressure because it allows the blood vessels to... not constrict.
Yeah, dilates.
It dilates the blood vessel, which opens them up, which means our blood pressure goes down.
Yeah, I understand that, but I thought you said blood sugar goes up, and so I wanted to know.
No. Blood sugar, that's one of the things I checked right off the bat, okay, was because as you buy it, if you find a product in on the commercial side of it, not the real green coconut, young coconut, you'll find that it has about 15 grams of sugar in it. So one of the first things I did is I went and tried to find out why it doesn't spike my blood sugar, and it doesn't. And if I would take normal any drink that had 15 grams of sugar in it, my blood sugar would go yucky yucky. It would just go crazy. But now it doesn't. And one of the reasons is it has a very low glycemic volume.
Yeah,
in other words, the sugar that is in a true coconut, okay? okay, comes from coconut itself, has a low glycemic value of 35. Where you take, for instance, like the sugar in a banana, the glycemic value of a banana is very high and immediately turns to sugar. But the sugars that are in coconut water do not, because of the low glycemic value. In other words, they don't spike your blood sugars.
Mm-hmm. That's really good, and we need to know that. But that wasn't a part of you. It wasn't that you were saying that the coconut water caused the blood sugar to vary. But it's just a comment that it sounded like you said when your blood pressure is low, your blood pressure goes up. And I didn't know if that's true or not. I hadn't heard that before. So I just found what I think I said.
I'm going to read it to you again, and let's go through the bill. It says we're talking about the kidneys now. It says the kidneys are also involved in blood pressure regulation. When blood pressure is low, special cells secrete a hormone that initiates constriction of blood vessels and thus raises blood pressure. The kidneys constantly monitor and evaluate and adjust blood chemistry and therefore are essential in maintaining homeostasis.
Okay, thank you. That was blood pressure, not blood pressure. Sugar. Okay, thank you. Okay, and then I wanted to know when you're drinking all this coconut oil for the eyes, health for the eyes. We didn't say anything about the effect of our eye mask or magnetics on the eyes because they, along with this coconut oil, make such a huge difference. We've seen just almost 100% of results with people using that eye mask.
Anytime you can use any product beneficial to the eyes, use it. And I believe Neekin coming out with the eye mask, the original eye mask, was on the right track. I know we've heard testimonials of how much that has helped people, particularly with a certain disease of the eye, and that's why I think that's beneficial. Also, the one thing that coconut water does, and I didn't get into it, was about the eye pressure, is that they have done experiments with coconut water. And if you have high pressures within your eye, when you drink coconut water, it will actually lower the pressure of your eyes. The only problem, not a problem, but they found that it only did it for about 2.5 to 3 hours. Now, this book was written in 2008. So what I'm going to do is next time I go to my doctor, prior to going to my eye doctor, I'm going to drink 8 ounces of coconut water. And one of the things I'm going to do is ask her, is my pressure lower or higher or the same that it was in my last examination? Because if coconut water can lower the pressure of the eyes, which is the main cause of glaucoma, I'm glad I'm doing what I'm doing. And when I say I'm glad I'm doing it, because, again, I want to say, anytime I hear knowledge or wisdom from something or somebody, I always stop and think, well, is that something that could be beneficial for me? And if it is, then, of course, I either do it or I do some more research on it. And we're all different, and we all think differently. So, you know, I mean, if we got into everything that's good for us, we would constantly be putting something down our throat or in our ear or stuffed up our nose or whatever. But I just find that certain things that are natural, and I couldn't find a more natural to drink than coconut water when it has all the things in it that it does. And when you can actually put it inject it into the bloodstream as an IV, that tells me that it's very receptive to the body, and the body utilizes it in the form that it should be utilized. We're late.
Awesome.
7:48. Anybody else have any questions?
I hope we got this recorded.
Yeah, this is one that I'm sorry for talking fast, but I've had a lot of information I wanted to get out about it and how beneficial that I feel that it's been for me.
Yeah, Monty, I am going to get this book, Coconut Water for Health and Healing. And you did mention some information from Baylock, right?
In the middle
of
I
his name. Oh,
no,
okay.
I didn't.
Oh, okay.
No, I didn't, but I know Dr. Baylock of coconut oil. I know Dr. Merkel thinks highly of coconut oil.
Okay.
What produces the coconut oil is the coconut water.
Yeah.
In other words, in order to take the coconut, you have water before you have meat. meat right. then is squished or mushed to make coconut milk and coconut oil.
Right.
To me, the, well, whatever. Okay. Anybody else have anything?
And Joe and I agree with you. I hope it's recorded, too.
Okay.
The reason I say that is we have had one malfunction this week, and that was Tuesday, unfortunately. So,
I have two things that I want to say before I go. One is bad, and one is good. And whenever somebody wants to give me bad information, I always or good information, because I have good or bad, I always want the bad first. So the first bad information that I have for you today is that this will be my last call. What I mean by that is I will. This is the last call that I'll be on this week, but I will be on the call on Monday. So I just gave you the good and the bad.
Oh,
so everybody, during the weekend, take all the knowledge you've gotten over the week.
It's right.
I know. I've got a weird sense of humor. Just hug somebody, give somebody a sweet hug, or wherever you love and care for. And know that what we're doing, we're headed for better health and better knowledge. And again, thanks to all of you on this call, whether you're on the telephone. We appreciate each and every one of you. Mary Lou will be with us on Monday. Have a great weekend. Talk to you all later.
Okay, bye-bye. Bye.
Thank you, Mary.
Thanks, Mark.
Thank you, Doug.
Awesome as always.